Good evening, members.
Good evening.
We've got the chairman's announcements, which is the first item on the agenda. Note that the council will be recording any part of this meeting held in open session for a subsequent publication on the council's website. Members of the public attending the meeting with a view to speaking are deemed to be given permission to be included in the recording. In the event of a fire, a siren will sound. We're not expecting any test fire alarms. Please use the fire exits marked with a green main hand. The fire assembly point is outside the main entrance to the council offices. Please gather there and wait further instructions. Please be advised of the different levels of the flooring within the council chamber. There are steps behind the main horseshoe as well as to the side of the room. The meeting is being monitored by CCTV. That's got that one out. Agenda item two. Apologies for absent, Miss Bird.
Chairman, I haven't got any apologies.
Thank you very much. Agenda item three. To disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interest, other pecuniary interests or non-pecuniary interests related to items of business on the agenda, having regard to paragraphs 6 to 8 inclusive of the Code of Conduct for members. Members are reminded that they are also required to disclose any such interest as soon as they become aware or should the need arise through the meeting. Councillor Nunn.
Thank you very much, Chairman. On item 7B, appendix 3, that relates to fees and charges, particularly the issue on river wharfage fees, I need to declare that I occasionally undertake work for Topsail Charters as a historian guide and am remunerated for that work. So I feel that the fees connected with the barges relate to a direct pecuniary interest as far as I'm concerned, and that I should withdraw unless you tell me otherwise.
Thank you, Councillor Mann.
Equally, Chairman, question 2, item 5, is linked to the same subject, but I assume that as it's not for debate tonight, that I wouldn't need to withdraw on that item.
Your decision, it sounds quite a sound reasoning. Now, I've got Councillor Lagan, Stilts and Mains next. If we can have Councillor Lagan, please. And I'll see other members.
Thank you, Chairman. Just to declare a non-pecuniary interest in item 7B, point 3, to do with the wharfage and car park as well. I've been in communication with some of those affected or potentially affected ones.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Stilts.
Thank you, Chairman. Non-pecuniary interest, exactly the same as Kevin Renner.
Thank you. Councillor Mays?
Same again.
Yes.
As Wardman Bosch.
Thank you. Councillor Edwards?
Yes, Chairman. Same item, item 7, point 3. Non-pecuniary interest, I'm a member of the Thames Sailing Barge Trust, but not an active member through donation through subscription as a membership subscription. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hurd.
Thank you, Chairman. I declare a non-pecuniary interest. I'm a trustee for the Brent steam tug.
Thank you. Councillor Harper, I'll go around the outer circle.
Thank you, Chairman. General item 7B, in the interest of openness and transparency, I'm treasurer of the Friends of Haybury Cemetery, and my wife is the secretary. I'm also chairman of the Joseph Henry Unwin Trust, occasionally donates money to the CAB.
Thank you. Right, Councillor Durham.
Chairman, I have a non-pecuniary interest as a member of Edmonds County Council, any item on the agenda pertaining to that body. Thank you.
Councillor Keyes.
Mr. Chairman, I've been transparent. I've got a non-pecuniary interest in 7B.8. Thank you.
Councillor Chandler.
Chairman, I declare a non-pecuniary interest as a member of Essex County Council on any matter on the agenda. I'll just quickly highlight perhaps those to be 7B regarding fees and charges and that, Chairman. But I also, again, on reflection, non-pecuniary, that didn't cross my mind at strategy and resources. Non-procuring, I think, on the Malden District Council Affordable Housing and Viability Supplementary Planning Document. I'm a trustee of the Henry Gilder Drake Arms House Charity. And also, in interest of openness and transparency only, and I've thought about this since strategy and resources, regarding the advice services contract, I do happen to know, I think it's the chairman of that, only because as an Essex County Councillor, he sits on the Parish Council of Cole Norton, which is in my division. And also, Chairman, one of the workers there happens to be someone I meet on the circuit on some engagements you've sent me out on, because they're the spouse of the High Sheriff. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hurd, I thought you had... Didn't I come to you?
Yes, I thought I had as well, Chairman, but I clearly haven't. Councillor Harker, a trustee of the Joseph Henry Unwin Fund, non-pecuniary. Thank you.
Councillor Fluker.
Thank you, Chairman. Just in the interest of openness and transparency, I represent Malden District Council on Malden Harbour Improvement Commissioners Board, so I'm in fact a commissioner.
Right. Are we finished with declarations of interest? Oh, Councillor White.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm also on the Malden Harbour Improvement Commissioners. And I also know the new chairman of the CAB.
Thank you.
She's on consultation.
Right. Then we get to agenda item 4, the minutes of the 21st of November. Now, I've got a problem with these minutes. Quite simply, I was away when they were produced, and as I wasn't allowed to take my iPad with me, I couldn't see what was going on. Now, there are a lot of changes that I think are necessary, so I'm proposing that we defer this to the next ordinary meeting of the council, and that we ask the officers to check the audio recording and bring the revised version back to the next ordinary. Is that agreed?
Agreed.
Fine, thank you. Agenda item 5, public questions. We have Mrs. Lee.
Yep.
Please, thank you. Got the first question.
Right. Apologies,
if I sound like I'm shouting at you,
I'm not.
Would somebody like to turn on the
it's
mic?
It's all right, I can project that.
No, well, it's not picked up on the tape, you see.
Right, okay. In connection with the council's relationship with the proposed new nuclear power station at Bradwell, is it correct that the council is receiving each month approximately £15,000 from the potential developer? What use has been made of the income in connection with Bradwell being received to date? Does the council recognise its integral role as a primary conduit in that, and here's the important word, disinterested process of public consultation on whether the nuclear development should proceed? What answer would be given to those who consider A and C above represent a conflict of interest? Thank you, Chairman.
Leader.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you for your question. And with regards to the matter that you brought up with me as I entered the chamber, I will, of course, look into that to make sure that you receive what you want. Insofar as the questions, question A, the straightforward answer is yes. Question B, it has been used to support, and Mr. Lee, if it helps you, I'll certainly give you a copy of this afterwards, so it's not to save you trying to write it all down, because some of these answers are rather long. So with regards to your question B, it has been used to support the staffing resource required by the council to ensure it is undertaking the role of engaging in the development consent order, the DCO, process regarding Bradwell B proposals. As far as question C is concerned, the development of a nuclear power station falls within the scope of the nationally significant infrastructure projects, which we call NSIPs, as set out in the Planning Act 2008. In these instances, the developer applies directly to the Secretary of State for a development consent order, which is what we call a DCO, rather than to the local planning authority for planning permission. Malden District Council will be a consultee as part of the DCO process. Bradwell B has indicated that the application for the DCO will be submitted in 2022. However, there is significant consultation and engagement process leading up to the submission of the application. Whilst Morden District Council will not be the determining authority for the actual power station application, host local authorities have an important role in the NSIP and DCO process. Participation is not obligatory, but is strongly advised by the planning inspector. Whilst it is appreciated that local authority resources are limited, relevant authorities are strongly encouraged to discuss and work through the issues raised by NSIP proposals. A local authority will provide an important local perspective at the pre-application stage, in addition to the views expressed directly to the developer by local residents and businesses. With regards to question D, it is normal for the developer in these cases to provide resource to the local authority to support the planning process. This has been the case with other DCO processes around the country, and both Morden District Council and Essex County Council are seeking support in this case. This in no way represents a conflict of interest, and the funding simply enables the local authority to engage in the consultation fully and to discharge the expectations of the planning inspectorate. Whilst the council's local development plan states broad support for the development of Appleby, the council also recognises its role within the consultation process to maximise any benefits and mitigate any impacts should the development be approved by the Secretary of State. The provision of funding in no way affects the integrity of the council in fulfilling its role in the DCO consultation process. In fact, the planning inspectorate supports the development of funding agreements between local authorities and the applicant within its formal guidance on the DCO process, which I'll now refer to now. The role of local authorities in the development consent process, advice note 2, the role of local authorities in the development consent process, HMPI February 2015. 10.1. Planning performance agreements, PPAs, are a matter for the local authority and the developer and may be justified by the impact on the local authority's resources. The planning inspectorate is, in principle, supportive of PPAs but will not get involved in the negotiation of the PPA as it is the legal agreement between the two parties. It is a rather long answer, but I'll certainly make that available to yourself, Mrs. Lee, and all members afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Question 2 from Mr. Raymond.
My question relates to the proposed removal of 50% discount on river wharfage fees and the introduction of parking fees on Hythe Quay. The Thames Sailing Barge Trust is a registered charity which owns and operates two sailing barges, Pudge and Centaur, at Hythe Quay. The Trust is a non-profit making charity with no paid employees and is run by volunteers and has berthed its vessels on Hythe Quay for 37 years. The Trust is not a commercial operator. We gain our income from donations, membership, and from the small income we make from taking the public and members of our Trust on weekend sales between May and September. In a good year, we just about break even. By removing the discount, we will have to pay a further £6,500 a year, this being a 100% increase in what we pay. This is unfair. This increase will put the Trust into a loss-making situation, which is not sustainable and will result in us having to consider our future on the quay. If the proposed increase is to be based on comparable costs for berthing elsewhere, the Council must also consider the advantages other ports have had over the town in terms of tides and other operational factors. The Trust's aims include making the barges available to the public and children. If we have to move away from Morden, then these opportunities would be lost to the town. The Trust is part of the Morden Heritage Group and our barges are part of Morden's heritage. And on top of this, it's also proposed that you will charge vehicles parking on the quay. Our question is that we wish to ask the leader of the council to reconsider the proposal to increase the wharfage charges by removing the 50% discount for our barges, Pudge and Centaur, as this will significantly impact on our viability and the future at Morden. Thank you.
Thank you. Leader.
Well, first of all, can I thank Mr. Raymond for his question and indeed his emails to me this week and from his colleagues and from the other operators and third parties who are involved in the barge. That said, I am grateful for the information provided and will ensure your views are considered when the recommendations from Strategy and Resources Committee are presented to Council later this evening. And I do hope that you stay for that item, and I'm sure you will, because it's coming up soon. So we should wait for that time for me to answer more fully to you. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Now we go on to agenda item 6, Chairman's announcements. As I've mentioned earlier, I have been away and the Vice Chairman has had a heavy burden. She's had to attend lots of functions on my and your behalf. So thank you, Mrs. Chairman. The only other thing I'd like to say is to remind members that on Sunday at 7:30 in the church, 6:30, sorry, All Saints, I've got a nine lessons and carols service in conjunction with the church itself. All members should come and get some Christmas enlightenment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, now we go to agenda item 7, the minute book. We have to consider under 7A the PGA and audit committees minutes for noting, and Councillor Banfield, Councillor Banfield, would you like to present your minutes, please?
Thank you, Chairman. I rise to present the minutes of the Performance Governance and Audit Committee held in this chamber on the 28th of November. On pages 27 to 36. So, page 27, page 28, page 29, page 30, page 31, page 32. Now, this page has the recommendation on it, and that we will deal with under agenda item 13.
Thank you.
Page 33, page 34, page 35, and page 36 for noting. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Is that noted? Noted. Agenda item 7, Strategy and Resources Committee with the minutes. On page 37 to 118, Councillor Harker, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I rise to present the minutes of the Strategy and Resources Committee held in this chamber on the 5th of December and made their reception.
Agreed? Seconded?
Page, contained on pages 37 to 47, 1 to 11. Page 37, page 38. Page 39, there's a recommendation to restore the CAB funding to £73,500. Is that agreed?
Agreed. Thank you.
Sorry. Turned over two pages. Page 40, page 41, there's another recommendation on the affordable housing viability. Is that agreed?
Agreed. Thank you. Carry on.
Page 42.
Chairman.
Councillor Nunn.
I will draw this point.
Thank you. We'll try and remember to call him back.
I'll send you a text. Page 43, page 44, page 45, there's a recommendation on the fees and charges shown in Appendix 3.
Councillor Leader.
Appendix Yes, there's a revised Appendix 3 which you were emailed earlier today.
Thank you. Lisa.
Thank you, Chairman. With regards to the recommendation on page 45, Chairman, I wish to make two proposals. First of all, to accept that all the fees and charge policies outlined in Appendix 3 are accepted, but subject to the following. With regards to the proposed change of green waste collections, I support this change, but would propose that it's accepted on the basis that officers take steps to clear the waiting list for green bins, because we do have a lot of people trying to get a green bin. So I would propose that amendment. And with regards to the river wharfage, now this is clearly, I've had a lot of representations over the last 3 or 4 days from owners, operators and other third parties. And that said, I propose that the wharfage section referred to in Appendix 3 of the report is removed from the schedule at this time and referred back to the Strategy and Resources Committee for further consideration so that they can look at this properly, look at all of the evidence that we don't have in front of us tonight. And I'm grateful to Councillor Mays, because I know that you've asked a lot of questions, and many of those questions I've asked myself, and I'm sure we've both got the same answers. Yeah. But we clearly need to take this information back to the Strategy and Resources so that we can make a proper informed decision. And that said, Chairman, I would propose that we do remove it, and it goes back to the Strategy of Resources for further consideration, and thereafter agreed by Council in February. And I hope that's acceptable. For
is that agreed?
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
Councillor, you want to say something?
Yes, thank you very much, Leader. And I was actually going to second it.
Seconded by Councillor Mays. And that's agreed.
Agreed.
Right, Councillor Harker.
I should add, we haven't been going to dredge the river one of these days, and that's going to cost 50,000. Page 45, agree. Page 46, there's three recommendations.
Oh, excuse me, Kevin, with respect, Councillor Nunn, I think he's
still
outside.
Oh, God.
I hate to miss something.
Yeah, well, we'd better go back and do that again. Councillor Nunn, in spite of my promise to call you back, we've moved on. And actually, we have agreed on the wharfage, but that's what you're interested in, so that's fair enough. You've come back at the right time.
Very much,
Councillor Harker.
Right, thank you, Chairman. Just to rewind, page 45, we've agreed the recommendation. Page 46, there's three recommendations relating to Appendix 4, 5 and 6. Now,
agreed? Right, carry on, Councillor Harker.
Page 47, I so move.
Thank you. Agreed?
Agreed.
Right, now where have we got to, Ms. Bird?
Minutes of meetings, Chairman.
Agenda item 8, minutes of meetings of the Council that have been published and are there noted?
Yes.
Noted.
Thank you. Agenda item 9, questions in accordance with procedure rule 6.3, yes, of which notice has been given. There are no such questions. No, thank you. Agenda item 10, coastal community team change, terms of reference and representatives, page 119 to 126, Leader.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm sure members have read this. It's a very straightforward report. Chairman, with regards to recommendation 1, I would just say that I propose a small amendment. With regards to the last two words, it should be noted as opposed to agreed, because we don't set the terms of reference for this particular community team. And, Chairman, with regards to recommendation 2, I would propose the following two members, Chairman, to sit on the River Crouch Coastal Community Team, one as the representative member and one as the substitute, and they will actually sit on the steering group as well. So, Chairman, with good consideration to the wise counsel that will lead the opposition, I will propose Councillor Skeens, and as a substitute, Councillor Nunn. Thank you.
Happy to second.
Councillor Hurd, do you want to speak?
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I'm very pleased indeed to see the leaders change heart, and I'm very pleased to see that the right people are in the right job. And I hope that this is mirrored throughout areas within Maldon as well. But I'm grateful for his change of heart. Thank you. And I further second that recommendation.
Well, I think it was already proposed and seconded, but I'll allow you the legal.
I'll be great. Thank you.
Agenda item, what was that?
Is that agreed?
Is that agreed?
Oh, that's agreed. With all the Christmas spirit breaking out, it's already been agreed.
Very nice to see you, Chen.
Agenda item 11, Brambleby Planning Policy Position Statement on 1-3-7-3-2. Lee, would you like to propose and get this seconded?
Thank you, Chairman. I'm grateful, and I'm grateful that the Leader of the Opposition has agreed to meet with me sooner than when we thought to speak about working groups. So there we go. It's the season of goodwill. Chairman, with regards to this, the recommendation, Chairman, I'd propose just a minor amendment to this, so that the recommendation actually includes that the Bradwell B communications team comes to that meeting and does their presentation, because they are doing this presentation to parish councils at the moment throughout Cheshire and farther afield. And I think it would be good for them to come here and do their presentation before we meet with officers to discuss the best way forward. So, Chen, subject to that change, I would propose that we agree the recommendation and look forward to this meeting, because I think it's going to be very important for the whole of the district. Thank you.
Agreed?
Agreed.
Thank you. Councillor Swain.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to mention a couple of points. One concerns the role of the authority from a planning point of view. Apart from the major project, will any related backup, one of the many related developments that are going to be involved, will they be claiming, or will they be able to claim a special status because they are linked to the power station development, or will they still be subject to the full range of normal planning considerations?
Sure, the answer.
My second point really was that in the conclusion, I find the first sentence a bit muddled. I'm not quite sure what it means.
I'm sure the answer to the first one is yes, but Councillor Leader.
Chairman, I mean, we've agreed the recommendation, but I think you're absolutely right, and I take your wise counsel, yes.
And for the second one, yes again.
Yes again.
I suspect.
Yeah.
Right. Now we go on to 12. Pages 133 to 138. Leader.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman, I've read through this report, and I'm sure all the members have, and you've probably drawn the same conclusions as me. Chairman, I think that the recommendation itself needs to be slightly expanded insofar as the fact that I think we need to have a clear decision-making process contained in this report. Now, we do need to get this recommendation through, because we do need to move on with this, because we're uncertain when the consultation process starts. It could be in February, so we're a little bit meeting locked. So, Chairman, my proposal would be that we include a slight amendment which says that a decision-making process be made clear and agreed for the next meeting on strategy and resources, and to add a certain amount of robustness to this, so that it's always the members that make the decisions, and that we don't lose any control of the decision-making process because of the committee system. I'd also like to add the words, and that decisions are only made by the Strategy Resources Committee and or Council. So in other words, decisions will be made by the Strategy and Resources Committee if there is time, because some of these consultations and responses are often time-hogged. Then they will go to council, and I think that way we all have control over this as a collective, and we should, because this is such an important process. So, Chairman, subject to those changes, I propose that we agree to this recommendation.
Agreed. Thank you. Agenda item 13, draft statement of accounts 139 to 214, Councillor Bamford.
We did consider this at the Performance Governance and Audit Committee, and the recommendation, as you can see in the report, is that we would recommend only if we had the external auditor's opinion. That we now have in draft, which is in this report, so therefore I don't see there's an issue with agreeing this recommendation. Once the statement of accounts have been agreed by this council and signed, then we will get the signed auditor's opinion. That's just the normal procedure for this arrangement. So I would recommend that we accept this recommendation.
Does the council agree I sign these?
Agreed.
Thank you. Do you want me to do them now, 151 officer, or do you want to leave it to the end of the meeting?
Chairman, it can be left until the end of the meeting.
Right, thank you. Agenda item 14, Council Tax Base, pages 215 to 222. Leader.
Thank you, Chairman. This is just a mathematical equation, really, which gives us this number. And I know that Mr. Meese has gone through all this. It's basically his recommendation, and I would suppose that we agree with the recommendation. Thank you.
Agreed. Thank you. And then we go on to agenda item 15, schedule of meetings 2020 to 21 on page 223 and 226. Leader.
Thank you, Chairman. Okay, I think we accept the recommendation that there are a couple of things that we probably need to have a quick look at to make sure they're tidied up. The first one is on the 8th of February 2021. Sounds like a long way away. There is a minor typo, and I think that should say northwest rather than just north. And I'm grateful for my hook-like, my Councillor Harkham is hook-like eyes, who spotted that the 4th of May had been excluded from 2021. So we need to pop the 4th of May back in, and subject to those two very minor amendments, I propose that we agree the recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. Agenda item 16, which is contained on the order paper, schedule of meetings, to consider the following amendment to the schedule of meetings 2019-20, that's the Strategy and Resources Committee, to move it from the schedule on the 16th of January 2020 to the 29th 2020. Is that agreed?
Agreed.
Thank you. Then we get agenda item 17, questions to the Leader of the Council, Councillor Swain.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a question to the Leader. Now that Highways England have announced their preferred route for upgrading the A12 between Boreham and Witham, which involves removing the both junctions at Hatfield Peverell and constructing a new one at Rivenhall, will the Leader press the County Council to bring forward proposals to provide access to that junction for traffic and for Malden and Heybridge?
Leader.
Thank you, Chairman. I think that's a very good question. I use this junction a lot myself, and it has concerned me. And I've sort of looked at all of the information on the consultation. And what Highways England are proposing is actually closing those. They're closing them off because they're disconnected, aren't they? One's in one place, one's in another, and there's a bit there on the road. But what their proposal is, is to have a new junction to the east. So it'll be a new super junction, so it will serve that area and it will do away with all of the traffic moving around as it is at the moment. And of course, you'll have the opportunity to comment on that because there will be a public consultation in 2020 and throughout the A12 widening scheme engagement and consultation process, this council has emphasised the Highways England, the importance of maintaining access at the A12 from the district to Hatfield Peveril, because clearly the local development plan brings forward a lot of residential properties in the north of the district, and I think it's safe to presume that the traffic from those developments needs to get onto the A12 in a way. And we've always made that absolutely clear through the consultation process, and I'm pleased to see that, judging by the proposed consultation and the information that has in fact been sent to all members, that they are going to have a junction to the east of the three or two junctions that we've got at the moment. So I think it's a very worthy point, and I think it will put a lot of members in their comfort zone now that they know that. Thank you.
Any other member? Right, then we go on to agenda item 18, business by reason of special circumstances considered by the chairman to be urgent. I have no such business. I therefore close the meeting at 20:05. Thank you.